This is a day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. Conducting our service today is the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Information on how to order CDs and printed copies of today's service will be given at the close of the program. We are happy you chose to worship with us today and pray you will join us every Sunday on this station.
Do you believe in a personal devil? That's our theme for today's sermon. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. God in heaven, there is much talk about the devil and Satan, but oftentimes it is not a biblical basis. So we ask ourselves today, do we really believe in a personal devil, one who comes and seeks to throw us out of a relationship with God? Do we resist him? Do we know that there is power to win the victory over Satan? We're going to talk about these things in the scriptures, and we pray, Holy Spirit, that you who have inspired this word may reveal its true meaning to us. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends in Christ, perhaps you have heard the story of the mother who was frustrated with her little girl. The mother had invited some ladies over to her home for an afternoon of visiting, but her little 5-year-old girl was also at home, and she wasn't making it any easier for mother. She whined and complained and cried and pulled at her mother and interfered when her mother was talking, until finally the mother, in desperation, took her out into the bedroom and shook her. And then she said to her, "What is the matter with you? What has gotten into you? These ladies are going to say you are a very, very naughty little girl." And the little girl said, "I didn't do it, Mom." "What do you mean you didn't do it?" she said. She said, "The devil made me do it." Well, the mother couldn't but snicker a little bit, and later on went back and told her friends what the little girl had said, and they really laughed about it. But somewhere this little girl had learned something about Satan. And while there was a humorous part of it, there was certainly some divine truth in it, too. Satan is the one who made her do it. Partially right. Partially right. Do you believe in a personal devil? That little 5-year-old girl did, and others have too. None other than Jesus Christ himself dealt with a personal devil. He had tasted of what the devil could do. You remember that one day Jesus was brought out into the wilderness, and there the devil tempted him? One day the devil said to him, "You've been out here for a long time, Jesus. Aren't you getting a little bit hungry? See all these rocks here? If you are the Son of God whom you say you are, then tell me, why don't you turn those rocks into something to eat?" And Jesus answered to Satan. Sure, he was hungry. Sure, it was a temptation. But notice his words. "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him. Notice, Jesus comes back each time with the word of God. "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to test." Well, again, the devil took him to a high, very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and all of their splendor. "All of this I will give you," he said, "if you will only bow down and worship me." And Jesus said, again, scripture, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." And then the Bible tells us that Satan went away. So we see that he tempted Jesus. We also must remember that he tempted our first parents by causing them to doubt the word. He says to Eve, "Is there anything that you can't do here?" "Yes, we cannot eat of the tree of knowledge. The day we eat of it, we're going to die." Satan said, "You will not die. The reason that God said that to you was he doesn't want you to be as wise as he is, as strong as you are." And you know the rest of the story. They ate. They died. They became sinners. They left the garden. He is a tempter. Notice the way that he goes after Jesus. shows him all the rocks that could become nice biscuits. In other words, nothing should be impossible. God should give you whatever you needed. Testing the appetites, testing the emotions, showing him that he could go up onto a high pinnacle and throw himself down, and God would take care of him. No physical suffering, no death. Why worry about sickness or accidents or whatever it may be? God isn't going to have you involved in those things. You'll be spared from them, and then they come. And a mother is taken from her family in death. Or an accident takes a child in death. And we cry out because Satan is right there. He knows just when to act. Where is your God? And you answer, yeah, where is he? Why did it happen to me? We understand the temptations. And then to see if we will but bow down and do something that is so contrary to the will of God, we will be blessed materially, and we'll have all that we want and far more than that. Doing things not quite right, dishonest, but you will benefit from it. That's Satan. Now, there is no scripture and verse that tells you exactly how Satan exists. We really don't know for sure by scripture and verse where he came from and what. But if we study the pages of the scripture, anybody who believes that the Bible is the word of God certainly knows that he is real, he is personal, and he comes to us. One of the great theologians of many years ago, a man by the name of Joseph Stump, has said this: Satan is not an evil principle in man tempting him to sin. Satan is a person. He is a wicked spirit. He was not created evil, but was once a good angel. But he sinned against God and became a bad angel, a devil. The Bible did not expressly state what the sin was that he committed, but it probably was a desire to be equal to God. His aim is to ruin man's soul and thus frustrate God's gracious purpose of saving him. End of quote. Who does he tempt? Well, he tempts all of us. The biblical characters, the little girl, Ananias and Sapphira, who were dishonest and held back some of their money when they were supposed to leave it all in the common treasury. You can read that story in Acts 5. Yes, he is after all of us. No one escapes him. He's like a lion, a prowling lion who comes around with a desire to get us out of a relationship with God. He is extremely subtle. But the Bible also says this to us. We are to be sensitive to the fact that Satan is right here. And there is no question that he will bring this to pass, that you will be out of a relationship with God. But if we will resist him, then listen to what God says. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that he appeared so that you might take away your sins, and in him there is no sin. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. That is found in the third chapter of 1 John, verse 8. The reason the Son of God came was to destroy the devil and his work. Jesus Christ came into this world to suffer and to die at the cross as a payment for our sins. And if we trust him, they are forgiven. But Jesus Christ also came to gain the victory for us over sin, death, and the devil. Friend, listen to St. Paul. Satan must be resisted. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the whole armor of God so that you can take your stand against this devil's scheme. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand grounded, and after having done everything, you will be able to stand. That is the word of God as far as Satan is concerned. Now then, what are some of these sins that he can so easily tempt us with? Well, for example, let's take some that are very close to us. Lying. When you know that you're tempted to lie, then resist it. Just tell the truth, and God will provide the grace for you. Profanity. Profanity where you can hardly open your mouth, perhaps, in some cases, especially at work, around people who are profane themselves. That is very, very common. Resist it. God will give you the power. You can get over this. I have seen many a person say, yes, there was a day when I could do nothing but talk with profane language when I was talking to people. Today, God has taken this terrible sin away from me. Negligence in searching, reading God's word, letting one day go by without ever opening the book to self or to family. That's wrong, friend. Resist that temptation. Decide that you're going to spend time with God in order that he may build you up in the faith. Resist it. There may be some people that you don't want to be with too much because you're at your worst there. But when you're going to be with those people, be prepared to walk as God's child in their midst. Paul says to the church at Philippi at Ephesus, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Do not let the devil get a foothold on you. Here you are going to bed. You and your spouse have had a strong argument. That's understandable. You may have different opinions on some particular thing. But to go to bed with something against the other, that is sin. That is Satan. Satan is standing right there and saying, how long are you going to put up with him or her? Why not do what your neighbor did? He got a divorce and he's over it. He's found somebody else. That's Satan. Resist them. The Holy Spirit will give you power to resist this and to talk it out. Do not let the sun go down upon your wrath. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. You see, God says, go out and work. Don't look for a lot of handouts. If you're able to work, if you can find a job, if you're physically strong enough to do what is necessary. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth? Here, friend, it gets pretty close to home, doesn't it? But only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. How easy it is to tear somebody down, but how difficult it is sometimes to build something up. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander. Along with every form of malice, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ forgave you. There it is, right there in Ephesians, the 4th chapter. I've read a lot of scripture today because I want you to know we may not have a real fine definition of Satan, but we have him on just about every page of the Bible in one way or another. So turn to the Lord Jesus, and the Lord Jesus will give you strength. Back to our little girl. She said to her mother, "I didn't do it. The devil made me do it." Now let's say it was not that way. But when the lady's friends came, and here was this delightful little girl, helping her mother in her own way, being quiet, answering their questions if they happened to address her in some way, until they said, "Isn't she a delightful little girl?" And then one of them says to her, "You know, you are a sweetheart. We'd like to have a little girl like you. You are so nice." And the little girl, if she was just a little older, could say to her, "No, I'm not. But God made me nice. He is the one. Satan can destroy us. God can build us up. Satan can take life. Jesus Christ gives life, both now and for all eternity." And so once again, I ask, do you believe there is a personal devil? I do. Jesus did. We better realize he's running around like a lion seeking to destroy us. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you for that glorious atoning sacrifice made in our behalf, to forgive us our sins, to pay the price that is needed through your suffering and death at the cross of Calvary. But we also thank you that we can know that in Jesus Christ we have the victory. We can have victory over not only our sins, but our moments of grief, when some difficult days can come. And generally speaking, as a part of life, there are plenty of those. But you, Lord Jesus, if we trust in you, can overcome Satan when he seeks to tempt us in those hours. You can grant us the victory. You have done it, and you will continue to do it until we live with you in our heavenly home, where there is no sin, and there is no suffering, and there is no devil. But while we are here, we are a part of a broken, fallen world. O Lord Jesus, come and be our source of strength. All this we ask in Jesus' name. And now may the grace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray today's message has uplifted and challenged you in your faith walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Christian Crusaders is a non-profit ministry dependent entirely upon the gifts of our listening audience. Estate gifts, large and small, have become a significant part of this ministry. If you would like information on how to include Christian Crusaders in your will, please contact our office at 1-888-693-2484. You may also write to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. We thank all who support this ministry with their prayers and gifts. CDs and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of any size to help cover production and mailing costs is appreciated. Please address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, radio speaker on Christian Crusaders since 1962. Christian Crusaders is now in its 75th year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.